For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. Built in the 1750s by the French as a defense against the British, what is known today as Fort Ticonderoga stood at the center of two wars and five battles. Today, the fort on Lake Champlain welcomes more than 75,000 visitors a year to northern New York. I spoke with Fort President and CEO Beth Hill about leading the 2,000-acre site.
Fort Ticonderoga, located in Ticonderoga, New York, just about an hour and a half north of Albany, is a National Historic Landmark place. It is a remarkable place of incredible significance related to the founding of our nation. The fort itself was built by the French in 1755, and the construction continued with every army that came in. There was an evolution of the place. The French held it through 1759, even after the Battle of Carillon in 1758, when the largest army ever amassed in North America, the British tried to capture the fort. The French held it. Bloodiest day in North America until the Civil War. 59, the British take the fort. They hold it all the way through 1775, when Ethan Allen, the Green Mountain Boys, and Benedict Arnold capture Ticonderoga for the Americans, the first victory of the American Revolution. The Americans hold it through 1777, when General Burgoyne captures the fort, and the British hold it through the remainder of the war, even through 1781, with one of the largest navies on Lake Champlain, with the British holding this front-line position for their empire. Right after that, it became almost immediately a tourist attraction, with George Washington being our first tourist as he's waiting for the treaty to be signed. In 1791, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson come for a visit, and by 1800, we have just regular tourists coming to experience the power of the place. By 1820, the land was protected or purchased by William Ferris Pell, the earliest act of preservation by a private individual in America, and the property, the fort, was preserved with a fence put around it, but it continued to serve as a tourist location. People were coming to feel the power of the place. And by the early 20th century, the great-grandson of William Ferris Pell and his wife, Sarah Pell, Stephen and Sarah Pell, decided to restore the fort, the earliest restoration of its kind in America, and establish our museum.
What are some of the activities, what are some of the things visitors today can experience at the fort?
Absolutely. So today, Fort Ticonderoga is a multi-day cultural destination experience. So from programs in the fort proper area, from historic trades to weapons demonstrations to more than 14 tours a day, 10,000 square feet of exhibition spaces, to across our 2,000-acre property, boat tours on Lake Champlain, which we offer daily, evening sunset cruises, the Mount Defiance experience, beautiful gardens. We have the lovely King's Garden, which highlights layers of horticulture and agricultural history, heritage breed animals, historic trades. We really have something for all ages for our visitors to experience. And our tickets are buy one day, get the next day free, because people really are staying with us for 2 days now if they want, and experiencing all that we have to offer, as well as a lot of special events and evening programs and so on.
And I understand there's some restoration work taking place at the fort. Can you detail a little bit of what is going on there?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's important to think of Fort Ticonderoga both as the National Historic Landmark and cultural destination with what we offer today, and also Fort Ticonderoga as the institution, as a museum and a center of education. And so as we're taking the organization, the institution forward, we're undergoing some major comprehensive plans and investment into our infrastructure as part of a large $70 million capital campaign. The first phase of that is the restoration and adaptive reuse of the pavilion, which is the Pell home, and also a National Historic Landmark. And that $6 million project is underway. And we have some really exciting plans for it, making it a hub, a tourist hub on the shores of Lake Champlain for rentals, for exhibitions, for expanded educational programs, even a teaching kitchen connecting our gardens and our international story with destination dining and culinary arts and agro-tourism. So we're very, very excited about this project, which should be complete by 2020.
Ticonderoga has thousands of artifacts that tell the fort's history. What are some of the most outstanding ones?
I would say one of the most incredible pieces is this hunk of iron. You might look at it and say, oh, you know, and kind of, you know, walk away and not think anything about it. But this split mortar, which was obviously arrived at Ticonderoga as a full mortar, a piece of artillery with the French when they arrived in 1755, has this incredible story arc. It, in fact, served the French, served the British, served the Americans with the intent for the Americans under Benedict Arnold and creating the Navy to use it on what we believe the Philadelphia, the ship that the Americans used in the Revolution. Now it's at the Smithsonian, Washington, D.C. When the Americans were proofing this mortar, it split, as often iron mortars do. But yet the story arc did not end there for this mortar. It was used as ballast. It was at the Battle of Valcour. Later on, it was used by the British during the War of 1812. On one of their ships. Ultimately, it ended up in a naval kind of graveyard at the southern part of Lake Champlain. When that ship was raised in the mid-20th century, our museum founder, Stephen Pell, identified it as being such an important piece. And it really was only last year, and this is what we love so much about history, is this constant discovery and quest and piecing it together. And so it was really only within the past 2 years that our curator, Matthew Cagle, pieced together this whole incredible story, the story arc that far exceeds even lifetimes of incredible people. And we had this piece conserved, and now you can find it on display in our Mars Education Center.
The fort is located in the Adirondacks, a region known for its outdoor beauty and recreational activities. How does the fort fit into the region's overall tourism economy?
Absolutely. So tourism is probably the most important cluster industry in the Adirondacks. And it certainly is a way for, you know, substantial economic development in a region that is economically depressed. Fort Ticonderoga today brings more than $12 million economic impact into the region. And in fact, saves more than $89 per person in Essex County in taxes. We generate more than $6 million in taxes at the federal, state, and local levels and support 151 jobs. And so we make a tremendous impact on the region in drawing tourists and getting them to stay with us, as I mentioned earlier, stay with us longer. If they're spending 2 days, then they're spending the night, they're going to restaurants, they're shopping. And today, as we embark on a major capital campaign and bringing in significant private investment from across the nation, as well as harnessing state support. For example, again, that pavilion restoration, we have received some major state grants because the Regional Economic Development Councils and the governor and all of our leadership recognize the investment in Fort Ticonderoga and the monies we bring in to match that is an investment in the region and, in fact, the state, both from an economic development standpoint as well as a cultural destination standpoint. We're a world-class place of international significance, and we have the capacity to unleash that and engage audiences across the nation and the world.
Now, leading a site that is built on its past significance and historical importance, how do you make it attractive for people in the 21st century?
You know, often people think about, old white, dead white guys, why do I care about that? Or armchair general history. Now, some people really love that, and I think it's important to embrace all aspects of history. But there is a real deeper understanding today of this social side of military history. You know, a lot of these very issues that our founding leaders struggled with, and not just our nation, but the French, the British, the American, the Native nations, motivations of service, tensions between society and military, soldiers becoming citizens again, veterans. These are very issues that we still grapple with today and are hot button issues that we still don't have all the answers for. So looking back into the past really enables us to be rooted in a deeper understanding. On a lighter side, but also social history, some of the more interesting aspects of our history at Ticonderoga happened when there weren't battles going on. And frankly, the majority of the time, there weren't battles. So, for example, our gossip tour that our curator Matthew Cagle is leading really gets into these salacious stories of what the soldiers were doing at Ticonderoga and their wives and girlfriends and other things. A lot of drinking, I'll tell you that. When where they weren't fighting. And so we were able to tap into, you know, the social history and engage our audiences in ways that are unexpected and surprising and really broaden our audience. But as well, and as you mentioned earlier, it's a beautiful place. We're located on Lake Champlain between Lake George and Lake Champlain, nestled between the Adirondack Mountains and Vermont Green Mountains. And so the scenic beauty is such an attractor to Fort Ticonderoga, as well as our beautiful gardens and all of our family programs. So we can really meet our audience, whether it's the youngest child coming in and making a little hat replicating the 29th foot regiment that we're interpreting this year, or world-renowned scholars who come for seminars, or graduate fellows, or, you know, visitors that know our history buffs and want to dig a little deeper with our museum staff. We can really meet our audience at all levels.